You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Jody Eberts of Love Madison Weddings. Jody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Did I say your name right?
Everts.
Everts. Okay. Yeah, so right. No, James, the answer is terribly no. You
that's
did
quite
a terrible
right.
job. Why in the world did I figure out somebody's last name while they're on the air? That's awesome. So, Love Madison Weddings, why don't you tell us what that is?
Sure. LoveMadisonWeddings.com is a local wedding planning website. Local engaged couples can visit our site to find their vendors and venues and get inspired by real weddings from couples who have planned before them.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, bride or groom could go on your website and just check out DJs, florists.
Yep. So we've listed all vendors by category. So if you're looking for a photographer, you'd go to the photographer page, and our featured vendors are at the top. Those are the ones we work most closely with, and have more information about them. And then beneath that will be our general listings, and that's alphabetical list of every vendor you can think of in the Madison area.
Nice. Yeah. So do vendors come to you to get on that list that they can be found by brides and grooms-to-be?
They sure do. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. And is it tough to get on that list?
It's not tough to get on it. It's, right. You have to fill out a form. We do have a waiting list, so the general listings are updated periodically throughout the year. So that's the free component of it. And so if someone said, I want to be on the general listings, we'd add you to the waiting list and then get you updated at our next round of updates. If you want to be a featured vendor, of course, we would work with you to get your profile up within a couple of business days.
Sure.
Get you in front of those brides and grooms.
So weddings in Madison, that's a big deal, right?
It is a big deal.
There seem to be hundreds of weddings a year or thousands. I don't know.
Gosh, considering the number of venues and the number of weekends available to have weddings in a year, I would say, it's
a dozen.
Pretty fair to say thousands. I mean, I would think within the Madison proper plus all the suburbs.
Sure. So how did you get involved in this?
Kind of by accident.
Okay, so it goes,
yeah. So prior to starting this business, I worked in advertising for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then my husband and I decided to start our family. And we went through the whole, conversation most couples have, here's our finances, here's what my work schedule is like, what my commute's like, what makes sense for our family. And we kind of, struggled with the decision of what we were going to do for about 10 months. And we decided that I would stay home with my daughter. And so I did that without much of a plan. And so as we thought that through, I said, I still need something to do to kind of bridge the gap between what I thought would be leaving the corporate world and then reentering in, 5 years, 6 years, whenever.
Sure.
And so having done so many corporate events as part of my advertising jobs, I said, I'll start like a wedding and event planning business, and that'll just keep me in the industry thinking about marketing and all those things. And so I did that, and I started working on the business plan for that business. And that is really when I stepped into the shoes of a vendor. And I went through the process of, I have this business. I want to reach Madison area brides. What's the best way to do that? What's the most, most effective way to do that? Well, it's the same thing.
Sure.
Best and effective way to do that. And I just found myself feeling like there was an opportunity there to create something. And I was drawing upon local wedding blogs in other, regions that I knew of. And I kept saying to my husband, Chad, if there was something like that in the Madison area, this company, this person, whoever this blogger was, could do this or they could do that or all these things. And I was getting really excited about it and kind of losing excitement about doing the actual wedding planning myself. And we just continued to talk about it. And then, as I say, there was a perfect blend of brainstorming and red wine, and it all came together and the light bulb went on and I said, we should do this. And so that was in February of 2015. My daughter was 3 months at the time.
Oh, nice.
When we came up with the idea to do that, and we launched in June of 2015. So we moved really fast to get this
out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the long answer to your easy question.
So did you end up, so your main business then is a website essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Where people can go for information.
Yep.
So did you have to put that together yourself at that moment essentially?
We did. Yeah. We worked with a web developer to get the site, the framework of it.
Sure.
And then we took over from there in terms of everything. We now obviously publish all the content, all of the changes, all of the coding and things like that we now do. But we work with someone in the beginning to get the actual site up and running.
Sure. Nice. That it, yeah. It sounds like a lot of work in a short amount of time.
It was. Okay. Yeah, it was. And people ask me, you know, like, oh gosh, you know, how did that go? And I'm like, I don't think we knew what we were getting ourselves into. And
sure.
So we started going down the road, like I think a lot of entrepreneurs do, where you think, you know, this is what it's going to be. There's going to be ABC, and then I'm going to launch my product. But you don't account for all of the other things.
Sure.
And so we were like, oh, yeah, we think that, you know, we start this in March. We should be done by June with all these line items we put out for our tasks, not sure. knowing all the technical things that had to be done. So, yeah, we were blissfully unaware when we got into it. And
nice.
it became a very intense labor of love.
So was there ever a point where you felt like you were drowning?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we had self-set deadlines.
You sure.
know, we kind of had a launch date of what we were shooting for based mm-hmm. on, you know, a lot of factors. But we could have pushed it out at any time. And we were really, and we still are, having a lot of fun with it. So mm-hmm. it was just a really exciting time for us.
Because sure.
we didn't even think we never thought we were going to be entrepreneurs,
ah.
you know, when I left my ad agency business or my ad agency job.
Sure.
So we were just like, wow, this is a really cool, exciting opportunity we never planned for.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just roll with it.
Right.
See what happens.
So you never, do you have any regrets as far as not heading back to the corporate world or anything of that nature?
No, not at all.
No,
I
that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a hard day if I ever have to go back.
Sure, that's fair. That's
but,
totally fair.
Yeah. But I mean, I do miss certain parts, but it's, you know, it's, this has been awesome. It's been an incredible blessing and something that, like I said, we had never planned for
mm-hmm.
and anticipated. So every opportunity that comes our way, we're just like, wow, this is really cool that we get to even experience this. And
right?
of course, we've added our own strategy to that. We're not just willy-nilly going out into the world, like, let's see what happens. But,
sure.
you know, it's a bonus. Everything's a bonus.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you first started out, was it tough to get vendors onto your site?
Well, we had our general listings.
Okay.
So everyone was included. And so we went out and we reached out to all these people and said, hey, we're here now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in our general listings. Of course, you can be part of our featured if you'd like.
Sure.
But as any publication struggles with when you first start out, any business struggles with, you know, we needed to build our readership.
Sure.
As well as our featured vendor. We needed to have something to give each of those audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So the first couple of months, you know, we didn't have a lot of featured vendors to start. Of course, we were working on awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't hard to get that awareness. And then when the time was right, when we were building up and we had enough readers to say,
sure.
okay, we've got some people here now that are looking for you.
Right.
Do you want to be a feature? Then it was, you know, gotcha. It was kind of a natural transition.
So tell me about building that audience. Because starting from zero, you said it wasn't that hard. So is it just because of the volume of people getting married? That audience is easy to attract, or what is
yeah, you know, we had just some really awesome opportunities early on that, again, we could not have planned for. We, one of our very first vendors was Charlie's on Main out in Oregon, and so we were working with them, and they said, hey, you know, we think we want to do like a wedding type giveaway.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, tell me more, you know, because
sure.
if you do that, we could help you promote that, or we could come alongside you and kind of work on that.
Mm-hmm.
So with them, we identified a bunch of vendors that we could bring together and hosted a contest to give a wedding away to a couple.
A wedding, like an entire wedding.
An entire wedding. Yeah, it was like
flowers.
A $20,000 wedding package. And
whoa.
So, yeah, it was really fun.
All right.
It was really fun. And the couple that won, so, so sweet. And now very dear friends of mine and my husband's. But that in itself allowed for some great PR and being part of that helped, you know, that. And then, you know, just the power of social media and
sure.
being able to draw on a lot of the advertising things and more grassroots things that I had done in my advertising career helped get that awareness relatively quickly.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So now you have a revolving somewhat audience, right? Because once they get married, they kind of don't need to poke around that
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
Which means that you constantly have to grow.
We do.
That. So has that been a challenge at all?
Yes and no. I mean, the wedding industry of itself is very referral based.
Okay.
So as couples are getting married and then, you know, moving on to the next stage of their life, their friends are getting married. And so when I talk with new brides that have found our site or used our site and ask for feedback, you know, very often I say, how'd you hear about us? And number one driver of traffic is Google or
mm-hmm.
any other search engine you use, but Google, I'm sure. And then more often than not, it's like, I heard about you from a friend who got
sure.
married and used your site.
Nice.
So,
okay.
So just like couples that have planned their weddings are referring their vendors. They're also
mm-hmm.
referring our site. So that's been really great.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So very cool in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the name. So how did you guys come up with that?
You know, so we were talking about how we wanted our site to be. And we were looking at some of the corporate options. So if you're a bride and you're looking for vendors, you're probably going to go to The Knot, you're going to go to Wedding Wire, and those are, you know, nationwide. And we're niche, we're local to Madison area. And I just said, you know, Chad, I want it to be more conversational. I want us just to feel like we're really serving as a, you know, a more of a microphone for our vendors that can share information with local brides. So in addition to having these vendor listings, you know, if you're a featured vendor of ours and you've got some great information or you've done a blog post on something, share it with our readers, you know, just kind of bring that in. It's more of a conversation. And so we're like, okay, that's our idea. And we don't really know what we're going to call it yet, but let's just kind of let it be on the back burner while we're working on some of this functional stuff.
Sure.
And I was in my living room one day with my daughter, and I just was like, man, you know, like, I just, the idea of a letter came to mind, and I was just like, huh, like a salutation. And then I grabbed a post-it note and I wrote love, comma, Madison Weddings. And I took a picture of it and I sent it to my husband. I'm like, what do you think if it was like the closing of a letter?
Sure.
And he's like, I love it. And so that was, and so that was our business name. It was probably not the most strategic, but you know.
It works, right?
Yeah, and we didn't sit down in a room and put down all these different names and all these different things. We just kind of like let it play in the background until it kind of found us.
You hit the foundation, right? It's three words.
Yeah.
You got Madison, you got weddings, you got love in there. Yeah. So it tells people exactly what you do.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And it's great for SEO. So
sure,
that's
right?
A bonus.
So, like, yeah, regardless of how you came up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
It works. So that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have employees?
We do. Okay. So we recently grew from a team of two to a team of four. We have we have a sales rep who works for us. So she's out working with vendors, as am I. You know, Chad and I are still very involved in that.
Sure.
And then we just recently hired an editorial assistant to take on a lot of the formatting and things like for the blog posts and, and all that kind of stuff. So that we can be focusing on growing our brand and also, you know, scale back a little bit on the amount of time. I mean, like any business, we've just poured hours and hours and hours for the last almost 3 years.
Yep.
And now we're kind of to the point where like, we still want to pour all that time in, but we want to make sure that the time, now that we have the luxury of being more intentional with the time that we spend on our business, we want to make sure we're doing that too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So was it difficult to find employees?
No. You know, the salesperson that's working with us, we met through working on our business. She was currently is a vendor of ours. And I've always just had a good relationship with her. And so we were kind of talking about, I was talking with her about some of the struggles that Chad and I were having with our business and stuff. And she was the one who kind of said, hey, you know, I think I could help you. And
really?
I don't even think we're ready to do this right now, but you brought up this great idea. And I think it would make perfect sense for us.
Fair.
And then when we put out a call for the editorial assistant job, we had the problem there was we had a bunch of great applicants and we had to choose one. So there's just such an abundance of talent in Madison and people who are really invested in our brand. And so when the people came to me and were like, you know, I'm interested in this job, and I was able to look at their portfolio, I'm like, wow, like you really do get us. So the hardest part for me was picking someone.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
That's a very good problem to have.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we have the other end. So
yeah.
Or some, a lot of people that are sitting where you are have had the other problem where there's just crickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Or not enough qualified applicants. So that's a very good problem to have.
It was good, yeah. We're excited.
And most of those two people have come in the last year or 6 months?
Yeah, so our salesperson within the last 6 months and our editorial assistant's been within the last month and a half. So we're still really early on in the process. But, you know, Chad and I are pretty laid back in our operation, the way we run things. So we work well with her, and we're just kind of learning as we go.
Sure.
Yeah.
So do they work in your office, or do they just work from wherever they are?
They work remotely.
Okay.
Yep. Which is very much the same for myself and Chad. You know, most often we work from our home, but that's the beauty of having a online business is you can kind of work from wherever.
You can work wherever. Yeah.
Yeah, and we just check in a lot, you know, in lots of different ways, and it works out good.
Sure. So has your business grown like you thought it would when you first started it?
Yes and no. When people ask me that question, it's hard for me to answer because we were so new to the market in the Madison area. There wasn't another wedding blog. So to be able to benchmark ours against anything else, we didn't really have. And again, we didn't really know what we were getting into. So we we put this idea out into the world and we weren't really sure what to expect.
Okay.
And so I think, I guess the best way to word it is like, sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
No, that's like year over year, you're growing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We're definitely seeing growth in featured vendors and opportunities and things like that. So,
sure.
I would say we've grown faster than I anticipated because I didn't know what to expect.
Sure.
So,
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Did you ever put together a business plan for this specific business, or was just, you can totally tell me no, because I've started way more businesses than I should have without a plan. So,
In my mind, yes. Okay. And I have a draft of one with a lot of blanks because there were so many things that we weren't able to fill in because we weren't sure how they were going to go. And in the direction of the business has changed a lot too. So,
That's all right. So are there other areas where things like this exist already or existed already when you started?
Yeah, it's a lot more common in the South. I mean, there's a lot of like Southern wedding blogs and things like that. So I drew a lot of inspiration from those. There's a great site in Milwaukee called Married in Milwaukee that I used when I was planning my own wedding. And the way they set up their website is a lot different than ours. The way they have their vendor set up is different. So, you know, the concept is the same of a wedding blog. The functionality is different. But they've got a great thing going, and they do a fantastic job. So locally, there are some, too.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Okay. And are they sprouting up more? Like, is competition growing?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're definitely starting to sprout up. You know, there's a couple in our area now, and I'm seeing them also in the cities and things. So I think it's definitely going to continue to grow in popularity as people do it. Yeah.
Gotcha. Just as internet gets bigger, or as, like, do they still have events or bridal shows?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, bridal shows are always going to be very popular. Okay. You know, there's a component of going and seeing and touching and tasting the cakes and seeing the dresses and seeing and touching the linens and all those things that you can do in a show. And I think the experience of it is wonderful. You know, when you're getting married, going to a bridal show is kind of like, you know, it's like exciting. You want to go and just immerse yourself in that experience. So I think that those very much complement what we're doing online, so that people can be planning and doing kind of the nitty gritty details as well.
You've raised an interesting point here. We're talking about groups getting married, right? Bride, groom, whatever. But we talk about bridal shows. So do you see grooms getting involved much at all?
I do, yeah. So we did a wedding show last year, and we have one coming up. And there were a number of grooms that came to the last year's show and were really involved. And we have a bride blogger series. So we have five brides that are getting married in the Madison area this year, and they contribute to our blog.
Oh, nice.
And we asked if their fiancés would be interested in contributing anything from their perspective as well. And they are. Oh, they want to share their experiences and talk about, you know, the different things that from their planning component. So,
and it's more than just I'm told to shut up and sit in a corner.
Yeah, for sure. It's way more than that. One of our grooms-to-be went to one of the salons that we work with and had all kinds of, you know, he had just like a straight cut shave.
Oh, really?
And kind of did a review of that, getting ready to be, you know, wedding ready.
Sure.
And it was super fun. So yeah, they're more involved than you would think.
All right.
We're happy to see that.
You're talking, I got married in Jamaica.
Yeah, nice.
It was awesome because I just had to show up, and there was no, even my wife just had to show up. Like, it was built around simplicity.
Yeah.
And it was, they give you pictures of flowers, and they just said, point to what you like.
Yeah.
Cake, you had three flavors. It was like chocolate, vanilla, and some weird fruity things. So like, all right, chocolate. Like, there's no... She picked out her dress, but outside of that, we just had to show up. So I listened to people talking about all that they're doing for planning. Like, I even met a couple. This was probably 2 decades ago. And the woman had quit her job because her job, from her mind, was to plan her wedding now.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, that's commitment. Full-time job is planning your wedding? Holy cow.
Yeah.
So it blew my mind that was even a thing.
Yeah.
And then learning, like, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah, well, I think it's what you make of it. You know, a lot of the components to weddings now is the DIY component. I think that's where the grooms do come in, because there's a lot of opportunity to make something really unique, make it your own, and to be able to kind of build some custom pieces and work, those ideas in.
Sure.
And I think that's where you see the grooms getting more involved, because that's... That's fun. Who doesn't want to do that?
That's true. You know? It should be an enjoyable time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be considered work.
Right.
So what do you like most about doing what you're doing?
Oh, gosh. Well, of course, I like the flexibility. I like being home with, and I now have two daughters, so I like being home with both of my girls and then working at night after they go to sleep. But I like the challenge of the fact that the industry is constantly changing. Our audience is constantly changing. I think it's fun. It keeps us fresh. You know, we have to make sure that we're continuously meeting the needs of our readers and our vendors.
Sure.
And there's no shortage of new ideas. So
right. Very
Chad and I are always thinking of different things we could do and and implementing a lot of new things on the fly and being able to do that. You know, when I worked in the agencies, it was like, oh, we've got this great idea, so let's have a bunch of meetings and let's have some more meetings and then let's go back to our notes and then let's, you know, finally implement this however many months or years down the road. And we're like, oh, we've got this idea and we're excited about it. Let's just do it. You know, and it's like to be able to maintain that excitement, I think, is really cool.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
So do you have any things that you implemented in the past 6 months, a year, something like that, that's been exciting for you?
Yeah, gosh, we're in the process of doing a rebrand. So we've been working behind the scenes for the last 3 months to just completely change the look and feel of our site, to change a lot of the functionality of it and a lot of what we offer our featured vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So the last 3 to 6 months has been, behind the scenes has been exciting. And then when we get to launch it, that's going to be exciting in a completely different way.
You sure.
Because then we get to be like, oh, we did this great thing. You know, we're so excited about it. We can finally tell you.
Sure.
So that's been great. Hiring our editorial assistant was huge because it's really taken so much of the tasky stuff off of our plates that we can open up some brain space to think about, like, how can we be more creative and how can we make things better?
Sure.
So just being able to do that has been huge.
That makes sense. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So are there any vendors that people don't commonly think of that you guys work with?
Well, we have a category on our site called Entertainment Extras just for that. Because we would start talking with some vendors and we'd be like, man, we don't really have a category that serves exactly what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And to create one at this point specifically to that, like, for example, we've in that category, there's a magician.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman who does artisan cotton candy. She spins fresh.
Artisan cotton candy.
Yeah, so she spins fresh. She's got this adorable setup, you know, and can just make all this great organic fresh spun cotton candy with cool toppings and stuff. Oh gosh, there's a, you know, caricature artist, there's live painting, things like that, you know, that don't necessarily fit into a category. And it wouldn't make sense to make like a magician category because brides don't know they're looking for that. Mm-hmm. So they're not looking for it and they're probably not going to find it.
Sure.
So everything kind of is encompassed in there in the entertainment extra section.
Mm-hmm.
Other things, you know, like I think a lot of people overlook the fact that they need someone to marry them until they're like down the line, like, oh yeah, we should find an efficient.
Sure.
And then of course the traditional vendors, photographers, florists, you know, you find your bridal shops and things like that, but yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So do you ever have any fallout from weddings? Cause I can imagine if somebody messes up, a vendor messes up, maybe through something that they could or could not control, whatever. Does that ever come back to you?
It hasn't, and I don't foresee it. You know, we function much as a directory of sorts. Mm-hmm. You know, you found your vendors on our site, and we've offered you the information about them. But that the purchase or the contract decision is on
that's
our
all
readers.
Through them.
Yep, yep. Okay. So they would take that completely off our site and have those conversations with the photographer or the florist or whoever it is, and they found us through them. So I mean, we're an advanced, a niche. Basically search function at that point, you know, so you're not going to hold Google accountable if you don't like your, you know,
right.
But it'd we haven't
difficult,
had that.
Right.
So no, fortunately not.
Gotcha. All right. Your rebrand, let's go back to that.
Yeah.
Is that something that'll take place yet this year or is that building up and then it'll be launched next year?
It'll be launched this year. We're tentatively shooting for June because that will be our 3-year anniversary of lovemedicineweddings.com. So a couple of things that we're doing there. One of the things that we found over the last year or two, as we've been trying to get out in front of new audiences, is that there had been some confusion. Like, what are you? Are you a photographer? Are you a wedding planner? Are you this? And we're like, no, we're a website. And we just kept finding ourselves repeating kind of our elevator pitch over and over. Like, this is what we are. This is what we do. And everyone would be like, oh, so you're a website. Bingo, we're a website. So we're like, why don't we rename ourselves? You know, we're not. So we will essentially be the same. It'll be Love Medicine Weddings, but now lovemedicineweddings.com. You know, so that you know right off the bat that we're a website.
Interesting. Yep. Okay, so just adding that .com at the end.
Yeah, I think clarifies so much.
Perfect.
Just from the start. And then we're changing the look and feel of our site just to make the search functionality easier. And we'll be changing what our vendor packages are, what our advertising offerings are, just to kind of unpackage what we currently have and meet the needs of different vendors, you know, because there are people who want to do, you know, smaller campaigns, larger campaigns, and we want to be able to kind of be more a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of components going on behind the scenes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And is that's a technical undertaking as well as it sounds like a logistical or more of a how you're going to operate kind of thing. So that's a big deal. You're coming from all angles there.
Yeah, we're pretty much changing everything.
Sure. So what triggered that?
Well, we were fortunate enough to meet with a local ad agency for kind of a 30-minute brand audit. And so we were talking with this person, her name is Chelsea, about kind of where we're at, what our business is. And I went in with the mentality of like, you're familiar with our business, but I want to know what your perception is and sure. kind of what your questions are, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to help define that. So we started talking about our business and the struggles, and I explained to her just kind of what I did to you about how we're having, we find ourselves repeating this elevator pitch over and over, and, sure. and we would like to get some more clarity around that. And she was the one who really helped us be like, well, you're a website, so mm-hmm. your name should reflect that. And we're like, yeah, it really should. And so that was kind of the spark where Chad and I were like, gosh, if we're going to go ahead and change our name, there's probably some other ways that we can create efficiencies. And we had just brought on an editorial assistant. We're like, you know, we've got some time to really pour into this and really give our brand a good audit, like mm-hmm. from start to finish.
Sure.
So we nice. Just decided, you know what? Again, we got excited about it. We're like, let's do it.
That's interesting, because I've talked to a lot of business owners that they don't have that mentality.
Okay.
Maybe they believe that they do on some superficial level, but as far as actually taking any action, they're the people that belong to the gym but never go to the gym.
Sure, yeah.
So they're like, oh, yeah, I'm in the process. I got this diet thing going on. Haven't done a thing. Yeah. Pulling the door handle right now is about the most exercise I've ever done.
Yeah.
But outside of that, hopefully maybe someday it's just ruling their world.
Yeah.
Where it sounds like you guys are actually going for it. You're doing it.
We are. You know, and I think the biggest thing for us is knowing when to draw on that excitement and really keep momentum, and when to kind of pull it back and let things play out over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we did say, okay, would it make sense to hold out, you know, 6 months, a year, and make some of these different changes? And we, you know, we looked at the whole package and we're like, we're really excited about it. Let's do it now. But, mm-hmm. you know, I've listened to a number of podcasts from, you know, business owners, and they've talked about how, you know, like, oh, my business was just tanking, or not that mine is, but I'm just saying, like, sure. we had this problem we were trying to overcome. So I developed this 18-month plan, and over the course of 18 months, we were going to turn things around and all this. And I'm like, man, how can you have the patience to do that?
Or that's 18 months is a long time.
It is. And that was kind of the way I felt probably even a year ago. I was like, man, like, I want to jump on things right away and just do it. But there's finding that balance for us, I think.
Sure.
It's just knowing, like, we're excited about it, and just maintaining the momentum of that excitement and making sure that we're clipping along at a good pace, but that we're not rushing something. And
sure.
that's something that's been, you know, that's part of the excitement of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to go chasing squirrels or anything.
Right.
But
yeah.
I have the sign in my office. You probably saw it, right? Where it says, beware the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And so anytime I get in one of those tangents, we'll call them, where you're just yeah. digging around, like, okay, is this a rabbit hole? Is this actually a productive thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then how does it relate to what I was doing? And just yep. kind of take a moment to step back and check yourself a little bit.
Yep.
And then you either decide, yeah, it's cool, or, you know what, this is a huge waste of time, or this is opening up something that maybe I don't want to open up right now.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, we met, as you know, you were there because mm-hmm. I met with you earlier last year. And that also was, I think, part of the process
mm-hmm.
for us to kind of shift this mentality and be like, okay, we need to get more clarity. We need to be more focused.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that you had said made me think differently about, okay, where are we focusing our energy and our efforts, and where should we be focusing our energy mm-hmm. and our efforts? And it helped us kind of redefine what our path was going to be moving forward.
Sure.
So thank
sure.
you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're yeah. welcome. No, stuff like that is fun.
Yeah.
And also helps to define where you want to be personally right. in a few years or yep. 18 months, right?
Yeah.
To see if your business on the trajectory that it's headed, or where you're going, growing, mm-hmm. is it really bringing you where you want it to be?
Right.
Because even if the business itself is successful, whether financially or whatever, is it taking over your life kind of thing,
right.
where you're not happy or something like that?
Yeah.
It sounds like you guys have found that good balance.
We're getting there, yeah. You know, I mean, I think any business, when you first start, you got to pour your heart and soul into it, and we still are going to. But, you know, there comes a point where you don't want to get burnt out either, because then you're not doing yourself or your business any favor.
Right.
So we were very fortunate to be able to identify that after my meeting with you, after my meeting with Chelsea.
Sure.
And to be able to talk with Chad and say, you know, I think we're at a point now where I don't even think we're ready for this yet. I don't think we're ready to hire someone.
Sure.
But I think we need to.
Fair.
And so we did. You
sure.
know, and so.
And so far, so good.
So far, so good. Yeah. You know, and it's just taking those calculated risks, I think, too.
Sure. Sure. So tell me, what have you learned since you first started? Since you didn't necessarily know what you were getting yourself into on day one.
Yeah.
Now you're a few years into it.
Yeah.
You got your first employees. What have you learned?
First and foremost, I've learned that I love this.
I mean,
I am a very introverted person, so
sure.
it took me a while to kind of wrap my mind around the fact that, like, this is our business and it's on us,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it was scary to start. And now I'm like, man, I just really love this. We've built this, we're proud of it, and it's just part of who we are now.
Sure.
You know, so that's exciting. So just that part of it has been really great. And I've learned just so much about like the technical side of owning a website that that's kind of what we didn't know what we were getting into. And we had thought we were going to rely on a technical person. But as we got into it, we're like, we want to make changes quick. Mm-hmm. We have this idea. And Chad and I were kind of like, we don't want to wait to be able to make these changes. So him and I are learning, you know, coding and HTML and CSS. And he's definitely got more of a technical mind. So those kinds of things come more quickly to him.
Nice.
But yeah, so there's been that, and there's been just the technical side. I've honed in on my writing style a lot, and just learning about the Madison market has been really cool. You know, it's a very collaborative market. It's an energetic, it's a creative market. Oh my gosh.
You know,
the work that comes out of Madison is just insane. And so it's just really an honor to be part of that. So, you know, we've learned a ton from just like the personal development standpoint, from our business development standpoint, and from our community. It's been, it's been really enriching.
Would you ever consider duplicating what you built here in Madison in another area?
Absolutely. I would love to. I think that would be great. You know, when the time is right, I think scaling it would be awesome.
Sure.
And part of that, with part of our rebrand is it was imperative for us to kind of not be as involved, because if we are going to scale, we can't be the ones working on every single one of them anywhere we would go. So we need to change our business model a little bit so that we're just not holding it up completely ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know, we need to be able to hand it off and let some of that go, which is really hard. But but yeah, I think that would be really exciting. We would love to do that.
Own the business, not the job kind of thing, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean,
still Porsche 80/20.
Well, just to be able to let some of it go, you know, because it is our third baby. So so to be able
to. It's so interesting you say that, because I sold my first business that I started in 2006, right? And I had people say, oh, you're letting go of your baby.
Yeah.
And I said, No. I felt like, I don't know what analogy works. Like maybe it was like your first house that you built or something like that. You're moving out to get a different house. So you can't keep all your houses, or why would you
want
to?
Yeah.
But I have a son, and I consider my son to be way more valuable than any business that I could start.
Oh, sure.
And I don't mean that in like superficial, rah-rah human thing. I just mean like a business was a means for me to accomplish something.
Yeah.
And so I never really considered it to be a baby.
Yeah.
So since a lot of people do, right, it was nothing necessarily wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I feel like a baby, I would never want to let go. Where a business, I'm totally letting go of that thing.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to want to let it go. I want to let it go in terms of being able to scale it, but I don't know. I guess if someone wanted to buy it, you know, and for the right price, I could let it go.
Sure, right.
but yeah, it's just been so cool. You know, Chad and I, we've grown as a married couple. It's just been this great opportunity to have this creative outlet while we're also trying to like learn what it means to be parents, which is crazy. And so I don't know. I stand by it. It's my third baby.
Sure, that's fair. So Chad is in the business as well.
He does help. You know, from the technical standpoint. Yeah,
okay.
He's kind of he troubleshoots and we brainstorm a lot of ideas. Yeah.
Sure. So I'd like to ask couples that are involved in the business, how do you shut it off when it comes down to nighttime? You got nothing to talk about, or maybe not. That's not necessarily true, but just like, hey, how was your day? And how do you avoid, or do you avoid going right into business? Or is that just, that's where it is?
I would say that's probably our biggest struggle, is being able to do that. And that was pretty much the reason why we knew we needed to bring an editorial assistant on, because we have been all in 24/7, I would say, for the last almost 3 years.
Sure.
And a lot of it is just because we really love working on it and thinking about it and talking about it and all those things. But the balance was definitely off, and we could feel it, you know, in our family. And we would, you know, our girls go to bed at 7:30, and then we'd be up working until midnight, and then we'd get up. He still works a full-time job, and he's very obviously invested in that. So that is his first and full-time job, and so that's his first priority. But then in the evenings, he'd be helping me on things, and it got to be, we were approaching burnout, and we knew that. So we are still refining what that means.
Sure.
And I don't think work-life balance is necessarily a real thing in our life.
It's just like defining success, right? Like, but that's a gray area, and it's different for every couple or every person.
But so. I think what we're really trying to do is just be intentional about it. Like my husband is on vacation this week, and we're in the middle of a rebrand, and we both were like, oh, we should be working on these things. And both of us said, you know what? Nope, we're not. We're taking the week off. There's a couple of things we need to do, but this is our vacation. We're not going anywhere, but we have the time off, and this is when we're supposed to be, you know, relaxing and recharging and spending time with our family. And I mean, we should always be spending time with our family, but you know what I'm saying?
No, like, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So we're still learning what that means, and we're still working on it, because that is not easy.
Yeah, I think you hit it when you said being intentional about mm-hmm. it, right? Because most people do stuff, even though they may or may not do it, I guess whatever they end up with, it's accidental.
Yeah.
Whatever work-life balance or something like that that they end up with, they're
yeah.
like, oh,
yep.
yeah, I guess I have work-life balance or something like that. But you being intentional about it, where you actually define it,
yeah,
where it's a conscious effort, that's a huge thing.
Yeah, we're getting there. So it's, and that's going to, you know, it's going to be dependent on different seasons. Right now we're in the midst of a rebrand, so it's just crazy busy all the time. And then hopefully after we do that, we can kind of coast for a little bit
sure.
and then pick back up. So just kind of embracing those seasons too, I think is important.
Sure.
And the biggest thing I think is for me being able to identify like, is this just crazy busy because we're in the process of this big project, or is this just our life? And if this is our life, then we need to make changes because
right.
as soon as it started, like there was a point there where I was feeling really overwhelmed and almost, I would say I was almost like getting to the point where I was feeling ungrateful for this great opportunity that we've had. And I'm like, this is not the way that we're supposed to be feeling about
sure,
this.
Right?
And that was just a trigger in my mind. Like this, things need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working on that.
That's awesome. You're yeah. discovering in a few years what it takes people sometimes a better part of a decade too.
Yeah.
So yay.
Yeah, yeah.
An accomplishment. High five. So let's dial back and say something broader here. Where do you see this growing in the next 3-5 years?
Yeah. So from the rebrand, you know, of course we want to continue to grow lovemadisonweddings.com in the Madison market.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to see, you know, we've got X amount of vendors we'd like to see in every category.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do think that in the future we would like to be able to scale it, to take
okay.
it to different markets. That's definitely a long-term goal. Because we've got a lot of refining to do on our, you know, we'll call it our beta here in Madison.
Sure.
But, you know, we're just focusing on the continuing the growth and seeing more vendors in every category. And then as we work with those vendors, you know, a lot of great opportunities come along. Like Charlie's on Main came to us and we're like, hey, we're doing this wedding, you know?
Sure.
So there's a level of like, obviously, we have goals for the number of vendors we want to work with, but then
mm-hmm.
there's that level of unpredictability of like who partnerships and things and what those are going to bring.
Sure.
So we have that, and then we have a couple of, you know, a couple of ideas,
sure.
projects,
that's
secret
all right.
projects in the works.
Dun, dun, dun. The skunk works of lovemadisonweddings.com.
Yeah.
So how do you define success?
You know, I think I'm probably going to sound like most entrepreneurs when they say that the definition of success for me is really just being able to be intentional with my time. It wasn't a luxury I had when I worked in the ad agency, even though I loved working in advertising.
Sure.
I really did enjoy the work that I did. But being able to have control over my time, even though it's crazy,
yeah.
Is important to me.
Okay.
And I think just being able to be fulfilled by that. So Chad and I, you know, we don't market our business as a Christian business, but we are Christians. And
okay.
we, you know, we do believe that this is just a blessing for us in our life, and we're
sure.
excited for it. And so being able to come alongside the vendors we work with and just create something that is fulfilling for us and the people that we work with is, for me, is the definition of success.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair. What have been some of your biggest challenges?
Oh, well, just the learning curve of having a website. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, when we first started it, I had worked in WordPress.com in one of my jobs. I took over for someone who was the web team at one of my jobs during her maternity leave. So I had worked in WordPress for 3 months.
Oh, nice.
and had some training. So I was familiar with the back end of it, but not too familiar with
sure.
it. And so just learning all that has been probably the biggest challenge, but also the most exciting because it's like learning a different language.
Mm-hmm.
Really
mm-hmm.
is, so.
All right. Yeah. What other challenges have you run into?
You know, like we said before, just the work-life balance, you know,
sure.
and shutting it off. I'm kind of a workaholic by nature, and we're excited. We love what we do,
mm-hmm.
as you should when you own a business, but,
right.
You know, it gets to be too much sometimes.
Right.
So being able to step back, I think, you know, for our sake and for our business sake, because
mm-hmm.
when we were so, when I came in to speak with you, I was just so, and still am to some extent, down in the nitty-gritty details that I couldn't kind of step back and look at
sure.
where we wanted to go and what we were doing from the big picture. So I think just even the biggest challenge for me was realizing that I needed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we did, that was, I think, a turning point.
Nice.
You know, and I work with my husband. So, of course, there were, you know, there's a learning curve there. You
sure.
know, in a good way. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's completely strengthened our marriage. But, you know, you learn different work styles. And when I worked in an agency and I was working with a designer or something and we didn't necessarily see eye to eye, I was like, okay, I'll go back to my office and we'll talk about it tomorrow. But like,
sure.
we got to go eat dinner now and talk about
nice.
This. So
just want you to know I hate you.
No. But just learning each other's work styles. We work differently
sure.
and stuff, but it's been really cool. It's been, it's
awesome.
Yeah. It's been, I think it keeps us from like when we go out to on a date night or something, it keeps us from just, having boring conversation.
Sure, that's fair.
We have tons of ideas, and it keeps, Oh, it keeps things exciting, I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you like to make decisions?
Well, I'd say we're pretty calculated in our decisions for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess the first thing I like to do when I think about a decision, and this is probably something I've learned because in the last 3 years, because when we first started, I would say I probably had decision paralysis more than I needed to because I was just really focused on everything I wanted, everything to be perfect. And I still do. But sometimes it's like good is good enough.
Perfection is good enough's worst enemy, right?
Right. And so, and I needed to learn that. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing is identifying like, okay, how, on the scale of like, you know, good to perfection, where do we need to be? And then go from there. If it's something that's going to be pivotal in our brand, mm-hmm. I mean, I would say we probably stress over it more than we need to.
Sure.
But a lot of it is just looking back on the data we have. Of course, mm-hmm. we're very data driven. So mm-hmm. we want to make sure that, you know, what we're thinking about doing is going to make sense for everything. And then more often than not, I would say it's seeking counsel. You know, we came and spoke with you. We want to mm-hmm. talk with Chelsea. I work with, you know, with someone at the SBDC.
Sure.
To ask questions. So a lot of it is asking questions and then making a decision based on all of the feedback and then our gut feelings.
Sure.
And our, you know, and our data. So
that's fair. That's fair.
It's kind of a combination of all things.
I teach that business planning class through WIBIC.
Yeah.
And one of the sections that they have in the business plan is a list of mentors. And I tell the students, sure, you can put me, you can put Andrea over at WIBIC. But what this is a list of is that if and when you run into a challenge, you know who you can mm-hmm. run to, right?
Yeah.
And generally speaking, I like to have them have a few people on the list. And it's amazing how many people just are like, what?
Yeah.
No, I'm like, no, the bank wants to know that if you run into a little hiccup, that if yeah. you're a restaurant, that you have another restaurant owner mm-hmm. that you can talk to, because chances are whatever problem you're running into, it's not the first time.
Right.
Right? So talk to someone that's been around the block a few times and knows mm-hmm. this. And so it's interesting talking yeah. with people about, wait, I can ask for help?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can. It's expected that you ask for
right,
help, right?
And you should, and you shouldn't feel bad about it. And then I guess that kind of goes back to before when you said, what's my definition of success? And I gave a long version of what I think what I think could be defined as that. Like, if and when I get to the point that someone's filling out that form and they can put down Jody Everett's because mm-hmm. they have seen what I've done and they trust me enough to come to me with questions, that to me, I think is success. That I want to be able to
that's huge
to be someone that you could put you huge. Could put my name down because of all those things. That would be success to me.
That's fair. That's yeah. totally fair. I was thinking recently because I heard someone had passed away in the business world. You know, when you network around Madison, you get to know a lot of
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And it's maybe not someone that you know very well, but you know of them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this person's 50 something. They passed yeah. away. Like, that's not that old.
No.
It's kind of crazy. And then you wonder, like, how full is that funeral going to be? And how full is my funeral going to be, right? You're like, I'd hate to have an empty funeral.
Yes and no. I mean, I guess, but I'd also, if there's five people there and I really made an impact on their life, that's good
fair.
Too.
Fair. I wouldn't consider that empty then, right?
That's if good they, too,
but
yeah.
I meant, like, the priest looking around like, yeah. should we start? Like, no yeah. one's here. Yeah. I just feel like that's kind of a good reflection of beyond doing good for yourself, are you doing right. good for the rest of the world?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? As much as you can. And it's a good test, right?
Right, sure.
My funeral would be empty.
Excuse me.
So I guess this is a crazy side tangent. Would you ever get into funeral planning?
In a word? No.
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 It's not as much fun.
It's not. It was never on my radar until just about 5 seconds ago.
Sure.
But
LoveMadisonFunerals.com or something like that.
I don't foresee a future in that. No, but I think, you know.
Innovation and growth.
Yeah.
Crazy side tangent. That was a rabbit hole. Just dial back from that one. So if you had come across someone that was in the process of starting a business or kicking around starting a business,
sure.
what are a few pieces of advice that you have learned that you would give them?
Seek counsel.
Okay.
You know, talk with some people, like, you know, explain what you're thinking of doing, you know, ask questions, you know, ask
sure.
that question. What didn't you know when you started? And be prepared for setbacks.
Sure.
Don't be
I love that one.
Discouraged necessarily by them. You know, we've had some setbacks and in hindsight, okay, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was very important for Chad and I to kind of have some of those situations.
Sure.
So be prepared for that. Don't be paralyzed by it. Consider it something you need to work around.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the data. I mean, and that's the thing too, you know, we're very sure. data driven. So it's like, if you're going to do something and you are considering it, you know, look and see if there's a market for it and, mm-hmm. and go from there.
That's fair. I like it. All yeah. great advice. So let's go back to data there, because that's one of those things that I probably could handle looking at more I just don't have the analytical mind or maybe the patience. So what are some of the things that you measure in regards to figuring out, maybe we'll use that word success, right?
Yeah.
But to know whether you're growing or whether things on your website are going okay or whether they're not okay.
Sure. Well, so we use data in a couple of ways. First of all, we want to measure how people are using our site. And so we can see from different trends what should maybe be changed.
Okay.
Different things we could do to make the user experience better. If we're seeing, gosh, I'm trying to pull on some examples. There's a ton, but so that's one way we use our data.
So keeping track of what pages they're going to or
bouncing
from
where people are entering our site, where they're exiting our site. And then, also, of course, when it comes to working with vendors, we want to talk about page views. We want to talk about time on site. We want to talk about unique visitors. And we want to know what people are reading the most and looking at the most, because then that will help drive our editorial calendar. That'll help drive, a lot of things. We're kind of pulling data from a lot of different ways.
Gotcha. Okay. And is that something that you look at daily, weekly, monthly?
At a high level, I look at it daily. I can't help myself. I just kind of want to know how many people are on the site, what they're looking at, and kind of have a running idea, things running in the background of like, oh, maybe we should change this.
Sure.
And then I'd say quarterly, we take a deeper dive and kind of look at the big picture of analytics.
Sure. So I also want to downshift into, because you got employees now.
Mm-hmm.
Employee number one is 6 months.
Ish, yeah.
Employee number two is a month and a half, something like that.
Yep.
So it's still relatively new.
Yeah.
Do you have meetings or anything like that, like where you guys get together and say this is where the business is at? Or is it expected that they just do their own thing, what they're told, move on, and you and Chad take care of the back end?
Yeah, well, so the person that came on, the editorial assistant came on about a month and a half ago. So right now we're just kind of, going back and forth through email, texting, calling and stuff. And I've told her, we're in the process of this rebrand, so a lot of things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, of course, we're going to have probably a series of meetings to talk about how that's going to affect her workflow and kind of our overarching vision and things like that. Our salesperson, again, I would say I probably touch in with her more often. And right now the messaging is kind of like, well, we're going through all these changes, so everything's going to change for you. So be ready for that. And then after that, yes. But we don't have staff meetings per se. It's kind of, we're learning as we go.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I like to feel, I guess with smaller businesses, one of the challenges that I see is to define a culture or a culture just essentially shows up, right?
Exactly, yeah. If you don't define it, it defines itself.
Then once you start adding people, though they may be good people, that when you talk about adding one employee to a four-person company, it's 25% of the business.
Yeah.
So whatever they have, right? I had this with Calls on Call. We hired someone that was a very nice person, but she turned out to be just toxic to the environment, right? She was 33% of the frontline workforce.
Sure.
And we're still recovering from that, right?
Yeah.
And she's been gone for months.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I just see I'm curious, right? With small businesses, how do you fix that or maintain that? The culture of the business kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a fun business, so it should be fun.
It should be fun. Yes, absolutely. But, to your point, it can't always be fun. The work needs to get done. And we are, we like to have things done a particular way. So we are a particular nature, even though we're pretty laid back. So I think, that's going to probably be our biggest challenge moving forward, is defining what that is and how we're working with employees.
Sure.
Our salesperson, she's also become a friend, so it's like we have to right. So we have to work through that dynamic. And I think after we go through our rebrand and we've better defined what that means for, how their workflow is going to change, I think that'll kind of be the natural start of something more structured.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because right now there's just so many, I'm like, oh, this is going to change. And I've specifically said to them, I'm not even going to tell you these things because they're probably going to change five times before we come to the final conclusion.
Fair.
So you're probably telling me something that I need to know in that after we get through this, we need to be more structured with our employees.
Man, that's, I tell you, the advice I give is only from the mistakes that I've made.
Well, no, yeah.
I can tell you that I've made some huge cultural mistakes. And it's interesting because I talked with people about culture, and you read books on culture and you're like, oh, this doesn't apply to me. We're only a few people. And at the time we were good peoples.
Yeah.
And then you hire just one bad egg, or realistically somebody has a bad day or a bad week.
Sure.
Holy cow. I can just tip that house of cards over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been, obviously been part of, groups of employees working in advertising agencies and stuff. So I know that as we grow, that's definitely going to be a challenge.
Just
making sure that we keep that, going, because we, like I said, Chad and I are pretty laid back. We run a we like things a particular way, but we also mm-hmm. like to enjoy what we're doing because we think it's just right. this great blessing that we have.
Sure.
But, you know, we can't get walked on either.
So. No, that's yeah. fair. Fair. Totally fair. So. What other advice would you give for people that are considering starting a business? Or even a web-based one specifically. What's
okay.
wrong with that?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm a podcast junkie. So you're listening to this, obviously. Nice. So continue listening to other ones because there's just a wealth of knowledge to be had. You know, you learn from your mistakes. And so I've learned a ton just from listening to podcasts on my commute from, you know, meeting to meeting mm-hmm. from people who have made mistakes before me or great successes before me sure. that I can learn from.
Do you have favorites?
Gosh, I'd have to consult my list. So as sure. I'm, let me look. Because you're putting me on the spot and I can't.
That's what we can come back to it if you want. Yeah. That's all right. What about books?
I listen to Tim Ferriss. I listen to, the Entrepreneur Radio and Something You Should Know.
Something You Should Know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think Creative Collective. That's a, you know, group of girls. The two owners of that have a web-based business. So I've learned a lot from them specifically about having a web-based business. And it's helped me focus, how we view ourselves in our sales funnel as well.
Sure.
And our dual audiences, because we have vendors as an audience and we have, you know, our brides and friends as
sure,
an audience.
Sure.
So podcasts, books, things like that. Beware the rabbit hole, as you said.
right.
Chad and I have gone down some tangents and we've had to speak with people like you and say, gosh, we're going down this road. So
sure. You said it like it's a punishment.
What's that?
Speaking with people like you. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, I didn't mean like that. I guess I should say I probably meant it because at that point we knew we needed help. So identifying
sure.
we needed to talk with someone. It's like, oh, that's kind of discouraging when you're like, oh, I'm not maybe on the right track right now. But, you know, you got to seek that counsel.
Sure.
Web-based business, I would say, you know, familiarize yourself with WordPress.com or mm-hmm. Squarespace. I will always recommend WordPress.org, I should say, over Squarespace personally, just because I know Google favors it. It's just such a dominant player on the interwebs.
Sure.
If you will. And then just know your strengths. You know, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of things where Chad and I tried to wear all the hats and we've just gotten to the point where we're like, you know what, I'm not particularly good at this and I need to have someone work on this for
sure.
me. You know,
sure.
even the editorial stuff, like I've honed in on my writing style, but I'm just like, gosh, someone else is probably gonna be way more efficient at, you know, managing their time and getting this done more quickly.
Mm.
So know your strengths because you can't do it all. I mean, I'm more of a creative person. My husband's more technical.
Okay.
So, you know, he takes on the troubleshooting of the the coding and all that kind of stuff, because it would take me 5 hours to get done what he can get done in a half hour.
Sure.
But if I were to say, hey, can you create some graphics and, you know, write a blog post and this and that, he'd be like,
I'm busy.
Yeah. So just really be truthful with what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and then just work to them, you
sure.
know, and make sure that you're not trying to do something that maybe you're not good at, or if you do identify a weakness that you want to correct,
mm-hmm.
work on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm a very introverted person and I probably a couple years ago would have shied away from coming on a program like this or some of the other opportunities that I've had, but it's like, no, you have to just kind of be a little uncomfortable and get through it.
Sure.
Because it'll ultimately make it better.
Yeah. Going back to the class I teach, I tell people if ever you get an opportunity to branch out something like this,
yeah.
it's essentially free publicity, which is awesome.
Right.
And it's getting you more comfortable just talking about your business.
Yeah, exactly.
So, which is something that you probably should be good at doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know who else would. If it's
exactly.
not the business owner, who's it going to be?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I wish I had more sage advice, like, oh, you know, these are the three things.
No.
But,
you're well.
You know,
very well.
But.
So one of the other things that I wanted to ask you about was user experience. Because with the website being such a huge deal,
mm-hmm.
like being essentially your business, user experience has to be fantastic.
Yeah.
So how do you know what people like and what they don't like?
We ask.
Fair.
Yeah, we do. Well, for a while there we didn't, you know, because we thought we understood, you know, in our first year, the idea was fresh in our mind and we're like, oh, these are great ideas and this is how we should do it. And the framework, even 3 years later, is essentially there, but we've
mm-hmm.
made changes along the way based on data that we've seen,
mm-hmm.
based on just kind of anecdotal information we've gotten from, you know, brides that we've talked to. And vendors that we've talked to. And then
mm-hmm.
we've also, you know, sent out a bunch of surveys just to kind of understand, like, how do you use our site? And open-ended questions, like, if you could change anything, what would you change about our site? And we've
sure.
gotten great feedback. It hasn't been anything, a major undertaking, but
sure.
things that were like, oh, yeah, we didn't consider that because we're just so ingrained in how right. our site functions
totally
and what it does. So
totally fair.
I think the biggest thing for us is just asking
mm-hmm.
continuously because, you know, things change.
Sure. Sure. That just seems to be one of those just bewildering things that I just do not understand. I was going over my a website with my sister on my phone, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing isn't a responsive website.
I know.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I expect websites to look bad on a phone because you're asking them to look good on a 3-inch screen or whatever. Like,
right,
it's just,
right.
There's no way it's going to be perfect.
Right.
But then I was looking at something like Amazon, mm-hmm. who, if a website like that were to come out today without any audience, it's a terribly ugly website. And you could argue that it's kind of tough to navigate, right?
Yeah.
Like when you want, there's so much that they put on there.
Yeah.
That if you don't know where it is, mm-hmm. this is tough.
Yeah. And they've probably got millions invested in user experience and how they can check out the different workflows and the path to purchase and mm-hmm. stuff. And so they're changing it to constantly, I'm sure. Well, Facebook's doing that. They're always beta testing different things to see if people are going to click here or do this or do that, you know? So
sure. Who to spy on?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's important, you know, to make sure that we're continuously doing that because the nature of websites are always changing too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, a couple of years ago, responsive websites weren't even a thing. Now it's responsive. Now we're moving into more of a, you know, parallax kind of site. If you're not familiar with that, it's kind of, you know, less pages and kind of more on one main landing
just
page.
Just stacked. Yep.
Yeah, stacked. So, and that's going to change again. So just staying on top of those different trends and switching when it makes sense. You know,
because.
You know, Amazon couldn't be a parallax website, obviously, because they've got so much going on. So you have to make sure you're using the right format for your business, but making sure that within that format, you're the best you can be.
Sure. That's awesome. You got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
In a good way.
In a good way.
In a good way.
It's fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jody. I appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Time went fast here.
Sure did.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching and author of the Bold Business Book, available on the requisite Amazon. We'd like to thank you and our guest, Jody Everts of LoveMadisonWeddings.com. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at SunPrairieMediaCenter.com. We can also be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Stay awesome. And of course, enjoy the process.